Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Speaking on Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, I first started speaking on this some years ago, where there came a point in my life where it seems devotees were expecting me to speak only on polemic and controversial subjects. So I thought I'd speak on something. It is possible to go from Vishnu Sahasranam into polemic and controversial subjects, but it's much easier to stick to the point, which is glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the qualities by which He is to be known as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In terms of YouTube hits, that one thing that we live for 24 hours a day, thinking, how many YouTube hits will I get? The controversial and polemic lectures get a lot more hits than the Vishnu Sahasranam hits, which is somewhat disappointing, because we think that direct glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead should be what devotees are interested in mostly. But it's not so, it seems. Name number 689 in the recension that I am following is Rana Priya. The most common or well-known use of the word Rana means battle or fighting, and Priya means one who is fond of, one who likes. So, he who delights in battle, who likes to fight. He who likes to fight. But by different understandings of the word Rana, it can mean different words also. So, it can mean sound, who likes sound, that will be explained. Who likes to movement, who likes to move around. So, various understandings are given. Our Gaurya Vaishnava commentator, Baladev Vidyabhushan, gives the meaning that he relishes fighting when he has an opportunity to kill a demon. Krishna likes to fight. That may be astonishing to some religionists, to some theists. We worship a God who fights. In India, that's one of the accusations leveled at Krishna by the Christians. Well, your God is killing everyone. Our God is the Prince of Peace, our Jesus. He doesn't fight. Actually, he did fight in the temple. He got angry that once. But he's known as the Prince of Peace. Whereas Krishna, Krishna's most famous in the world as the speaker of Bhagavad Gita. Maybe as the lover of the gopis also. The speaker of Bhagavad Gita, which is a whole treatise in which Krishna's friend comes up with the idea, let's make love, not war. Let's have peace. And Krishna calls him a damn fool and convinces him to fight, which he does. Even in immoral ways, seemingly. Therein, one of the arguments Krishna gives to Arjuna is Sukhina kshatriya partha labhante yudhami idrisham. Come on, you're a Kshatriya. Come on, it's fun. You like fighting, don't you? Kshatriyas like to fight. Swargadwaram apavritam. It's the doors to heaven are open. The Kshatriya in a battle sees arrows flying at him. He sees the doors to heaven are open. If I'm killed, what is that? I can't remember. If you die, then you'll go to heaven, and if you're successful in the battle, Bhokshasei Mahim, then you'll enjoy the earth. So, come on, it's a good deal. It's great for Kshatriyas. So Kshatriyas, they like to fight. Well, Krishna gave the reason they like to fight because Hatova prapshasi swargam. If you're killed, you'll go to heaven. And if you're successful in the fight, then you'll enjoy the earth. But apart from that, apart from the what do I get out of it consideration, there's also the fact that Kshatriyas, they like to fight. Now, one thing is the pleasure of battle itself, which is a pleasure, which most people like to, vicariously enjoy. In other words, they like, war movies are very popular. Are they popular in Croatia? Yeah. I thought it, because in England and America, it's popular. So, Everywhere, yeah. I thought it might be more there because they like to, they're always pumping their populations up to support more and more wars. And maybe in Germany, the war movies are not so popular because they lost the war. I'm just wondering, but it's popular everywhere. Huh? And then there's cowboys and Indians, in which the cowboys, they fight with the Indians. So there's pleasure in that. But most people like the pleasure just in the TV screen or the movie screen. No, otherwise war, actually, unless you're a real Kshatriya, then it's hellish. That description is there in the Krishna book. In the battle there were rivers of blood. Rivers of blood, so much blood, rivers of blood. And there were heads floating in the river, and arms and legs, and not only human, but horses and elephants' trunks, and broken chariot wheels. And for the squeamish, it was something horrible. But for the for heroes, it was something relishable. They enjoy that. So there's a pleasure from the fighting. But apart from that, the Kshatriyas, it's not just the pleasure of fighting, which, after all, I don't know if it happens in this country, but I was raised in a country where violence is part of, street violence is part of the way of life. That's why in Britain you get these soccer hooligans. It's not only at the soccer matches, but on any occasion. Friday night is a night, Friday, Sunday, get drunk and then fight gangs. So they like to do that. Just so that's one kind of, that's pretty low, that's low class. But the Kshatriyas, they fight for, the pleasure is that they're protecting dharma, they're protecting the citizen. That is their glory. And they'll die for that. To think I'll go to heaven, that is a secondary consideration. And there's so many stories, especially from Rajasthan, the Rajputs. It's completely in their culture, fighting. You'll find even now in Rajasthan so many forts built on the hills, where the kings would live there, because they're always fighting. And so there's this story of one king went out to fight, and he came back. And he's asked, did you win the battle? No, we lost. So the queen had the, who was still inside, closed the door so he couldn't come in. Said, you know, that's my husband, he wouldn't come back. He wouldn't come back defeated. You either win or you die. So it was hopeless. He came back because they're hopeless. They're overwhelmed. He had to go out and die. And I mean, all the queens have to die also, because when the king dies, the queens have to die. So, but rather than be defeated and accept some peace proposal, no, my husband, he doesn't come back. He won't come. That's it. And you'll find also so many... on the walls of these castles, you'll find so many handprints. The marks of handprints. What is that? Those are the marks that the queens, they put their handprint. They're going into the fire. They have to die. My husband is dead, I have to die. So they put their handprint and enter the fire. That's their spirit. They honor over death. It's more important that that their honor be maintained. So that is the spirit of a kshatriya. It's not just some ruffian who runs around and beats people up. That's more like the Kali Yuga idea of a ruler who rules by force. Horrible personality. They get power and they rule by force. In the recent history of the world, we have the Hitler and Stalin and very horrible people who they were not kshatriyas. They were ruffians who got power. So the Krishna has this feeling he wants to fight. And to protect. He protects the world. He comes to protect the world. Yada yada hi dharmasya glane bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham paritranaya sadhunam vinashayata dushvitam dharma sangsthapanataya sambhavami yoge yoge. Krishna comes to protect dharma and to protect the dharmic people. And to destroy the miscreants. He doesn't have by his desire he can destroy the miscreants. But he likes to fight. And Srila Prabhupada gave that example that just like a king, he keeps strong wrestlers to fight with. and he has to practice fighting. He's not a sit-at-home, press-the-button military leader. He's a real fighter. The kings come out on the battlefield at the front. The kshatriyas come out. And if the king is finished, one king is killed, the whole battle is over. Whoever the other king wins. Not that they go on fighting and fighting till no one's left. So Krishna, he's like that king, he keeps wrestlers. And the wrestlers, they're the servants of the king, but their job is to fight with full strength to try to defeat the king. They're not half-heartedly. The jester, he has a similar job. His job is to make jokes about the king in public. Not only about the king, but also about the king, right in front of everyone. If anyone else did it, the head would come off. And the jester, he's always you never know when the king's going to get angry. There are many instances. Srila Prabhupada told the story of Gopal Ban, who Gopal comes into the court one day, the jester of the king, and the king immediately sees him, because when he comes, immediately it's going to be funny. You know, when someone who likes to joke around comes, you know, it's immediately the mood gets lighter. So Hotra Swami was sometimes in that mood, and then he'd just be one joke after another, Krishna conscious jokes. So Gopal walks into the court, and the king says, "Gopal, what is the difference between you and a donkey?" So Gopal walks toward the king. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Reaches up to him after 12 steps, and he says, 12 steps. 12 steps, Your Highness. What can he do? It's a dangerous job. So Krishna, he likes to fight, and who can fight with him? Mostly he fights with his own devotees, just like the wrestler. King keeps a wrestler, or several wrestlers, to fight with. So it keeps him strong and ready to take the pain and ready to fight. So we have the story of Jaya and Vijay, who became Ravana and Kumbhakarna, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, and Shishupal and Dantavakra, and then again Jaya and Vijay. Krishna took, and then many times he fights as Krishna in many forms. We just sung this Dashavatara Stotram. In many of the forms he fights. In Matsya, fish incarnation, we don't have any record of him fighting there. As Kurama, he wasn't fighting, but there was a big fight going on between out of that whole pastime, big fight came on between the demigods and the demons. And then he again, in his original Vishnu form. Otherwise, in that avatar, the Kurma, Vamana, Mohini, they're all involved in that. But they don't fight. Then Varaha, he's fighting. He's fighting severely with a very powerful demon. And Narahari, the lion-man form, man-lion form, is extremely, extremely angry. It's just unbelievably, just inconceivably angry that Jadurani Devi Dasi was under Srila Prabhupada's direction painting the picture of Nrsimha killing Hiranyakashipu. And the first time she came with the finished product, and Prabhupada said, "No, not good enough, more blood." Then again she went back and painted more blood, and Prabhupada saw again, "No, more blood, lots of blood." Then the next avatar is very peaceful. By contrast, let's do it a different way. Anyway, this is Bali, so I promised to Prahlad that I won't kill anyone in his dynasty anymore. So, and he's a devotee, so defeat him in another way. But then, as Parashuram, he's in full swing, literally full swing, swinging his axe. So fast, you can't even see it. His axe is moving at the speed of the mind, and then so fast, just making not rivers of blood, lakes of blood. So much blood of the Kshatriyas. And still at Kurukshetra, you can see the lakes are still there. Now they're filled with water, but at that time, they're filled with blood. So that's pretty violent, isn't it? He likes that. Then again, as Rama, he's peaceful by nature, but don't mess with him. If you get on the wrong side of him, then there's so many. First, the Rakshasas came to know about him when that Kara Dushana, who was the third one? The Rakshasas in the forest. So they're all coming. And Lakshman says, I'll deal with them. Ram says, no, I'll deal with them. You look after Sita, I look after them. So single-handedly, he just killed all the Rakshasa army. A man means they eat men for breakfast. That's why Ravana, he wasn't afraid of men. All the way through the Lanka battle, Ravana, he couldn't come to terms with the fact that this is a couple of men. Men, as they like, men, it's humans, that's what we eat. That's how, and monkeys. It's just, Ravana just couldn't, he couldn't come to terms with it. That every time they said, look, they're killing us, they're destroying. What are you talking about? Men, a couple of men and some monkeys. It's not, he just couldn't work it out. Couldn't understand it. It was beyond, it was inconceivable to him. But Rama took great pleasure in that. Ranapriya. Then again, as Balaram, again, fighting. But at some point he retired from the fighting. And then as Buddha, he became a complete pacifist. But then just to cap it all off, at the end of Kali Yuga, just finish them all off, that's all. Just, they're all demons, just kill them all. They're just a few, a handful. Kalki comes, just kills them all. Just that few people are left, and then bring in Satya Yuga. So yeah, he likes to fight. But it's not, again, it's not just the fighting for the fighting just out of some ruffianism, but he does so for the benefit of the world. He comes to protect those who have surrendered to him and to destroy those who are ete changsa kala pungsang Krishna's two bhagavans Indrari Vyokalam Lokam Ridayanti Yuga Yuga. Those who are causing disturbance to the demigods, to the universal system, he comes to destroy them in every age. So his fighting is out of love. It's motivated more by love than by hatred or envy. Even the people he kills, he loves them because he delivers them from repeated birth and death. They may not come to the level of pure love for him, but at least they are delivered from their huge mountain of sins that they've developed, and they're put in cold storage for some time in the Brahma Jyoti. That, okay, then just don't do any more sins. Just be there. So he's very merciful to them. We see in his past, he comes to deliver demigods, comes to deliver the Pandavas, comes out of love for his devotees. And his symbols are there, here in this Vishnu Sahasranama, there are several names relating to his weapons. Chakri, Chakradhara. He's holding his weapons. His weapons are always there for protecting his devotees, for protecting Dharma. How important is Dharma? That he himself comes to protect that by fighting. Mm. in the Parashara Smriti. Parashara Smriti. It stated, Kshatriyo hi prajarakshan shastrapani pradandayan nirjitya parasainyadi kshitim dharmena palayat. Srila Prabhupada quotes this in his Gita purport. The Kshatriya's duty is to protect the citizens from all kinds of difficulties, and for that reason he has to apply violence in suitable cases for upholding law and order. Therefore, he has to conquer the soldiers of inimical kings, and thus, with religious principles, he should rule over the world. So this is the duty of the king, who is a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The king is God on earth. Naranam Chandaradhipam. He is the, among men, among the humans, Krishna is the leader of the men. So he executes that function on behalf of Krishna. Ranapriya. He's fond of fighting. So Parashara Bhatta, in his description of the meaning of this verse, quotes Valmiki from Ramayana, that Sri Rama killed Ravana in the fight and felt happy. What was his happiness? That he had delivered Sita. But particularly it is mentioned by Valmiki that he had fulfilled the desires of Sugriva and Angada, fulfilled the desires of his devotees who wanted to see him successful. Shankaracharya, in his commentary, also mentions his five panchayuddha, his five weapons, which are, we may not see them with him all the time, but he can call them at any time. He has his discus, Sudarshana Chakra, the club, Komodaki club, Gada, Shanga, his bow, his Nandaki, his sword, Shanga, Kodanda. Krishna is famous for killing so many demons, and in this regard, he has so many names. There are so many names. From Bhagavad Gita, we have Madhusudana, the killer of the Madhu demon. And there are many such names. Here's one. Duryodhana Kulantaka. That's not such a common name, is it? Duryodhana Kulantaka, the destroyer of the whole family. That's in one Ashtotara Shatanam. Then another long name. Danavendra Vinashana, the killer of the kings among the Danavas, the descendants of Danu, another kind of demon. Any more names? Demon killing names? Keshava, Madhusudan is just said. Janardana can be, can have the point. Kangsari, what about Murmurari. Ravanantaka, Ravanari. Kaitava Ghata. Any more? There are so many. Putana Ghatana. There's so many. Madhu Kaitavari. With any demon's name, you could say Murari, Mura Ripa, Mura Nisudana, Mura Sudana. With any one name of one demon, you can add various suffixes. So there's so many names of Krishna. And One generic name, Daityari. There's a devotee in Croatia, one of the old devotees. Oh, where is he these days? Muraria, huh? He's in Rijeka. And Daitya Sudhana is another similar name. Aditya Rupaka. Yeah, but what does that mean? Because Aditya is the Aditya is the son of Aditi. They're the good guys. That's sometimes in that song, devotees sing, what is that? Surakula Dashara. Yeah, you have to be careful. But yes. Well, in one sense, yeah, because that's Mrityu Sarva Harashchaham. That's Kala. Kala Sarva. Sarva Harashchaham. Destroys everything and everyone. But that's not the name. It's Asura Kula Nashana. This. There's one name, which means Nrsimhadev melted. I guess that means melted their hearts, or just made them afraid. Melted both the demons and the demigods in the pot of his shrill laughter. That's also said about Nrsimhadev, just by his shrieking, the wives of the demons had miscarriages. Yeah. Don't mess with Krishna. Better be on the right side, huh? So there are so many names that he likes to fight. The next name in Vishnu Sahasranama is Purna, which I'm not going to discuss now. Purna means complete, so everything is there within. Why do we have a fighting propensity? Because he has. It comes from him. Now don't use that as an excuse to go and punch someone in the face and say, well, God inspired me to do it. Kshatriyas are supposed to be self-controlled and to fight for the sake of dharma. So Krishna does that. His losing your temper completely, that, and just absolute destruction of everything, that he manifests as Shiva at the time of universal destruction. And then he's just out of control. Wild anger. Even the bad tendencies in him are good. Generally, to be angry is not very good. Right? We find in Bhagavad Gita, one of the paths to hell is anger. But when he's anger, it's good, and it's for the benefit of the world. Srivas Thakur. One time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the house of Srivas and said, you recite Vishnu Sahasranama. So Srivas started reciting because Nimai wanted to hear it. And just at the beginning comes the name Narasimha Vapu, the form of Narasimha. So hearing that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became filled with the mood of Narasimha and ran in the street. And he is Narasimha. So he became, he took on that mood. And he wanted to, with the feeling he wants to kill all the demons. So everyone ran away in great fear. And then he saw they're fearful. And then he became sorry and came back to Srivas's house. So sorry. Oh, I gave fear to the people. That is not good. And Srivas said, yeah, it's very good. Anyone who saw you in that mood, they became liberated from material existence. So his anger, his apparently bad qualities, They're also good. Therefore, the next name after Punya, coming up in this verse is the name Punya. Even his apparently sinful activities, they're also most pious. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also fighting Sangopangastra Parshadam. Whenever the Lord appears, he comes with his soldiers, his weapons. So his soldiers there, his associates who perform the Sankirtan movement with him. And as far as his weapon, what's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's weapon? Anyone remember? His beauty, yeah. Jiva Goswami explains that his beauty, when the demons see it, their hearts melt. They become enchanted by his beauty, and he overcomes them in this way. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also likes to fight, but he has a Vakya Yuddha, war of words, as a young, puffed up scholar. He'd like to fight with words. Brahmins fight with words. No, that doesn't mean when Brahmins fight by words, they just insult each other. No, that's again for low-class people. Simply insulting is low-class. You can insult, but you have to give a good reason to insult. It's not that you just call someone a fool. You have to establish philosophically and logically that they're a fool, then you're justified in calling them a fool. But you don't just call them a fool. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was in his youthful pastimes, was very fond of verbal fighting, in which he was unmatched and unparalleled. One of the commentators, Krishna Datta Bharadvaj, he gives the sound, he gives the meaning that rana also means sound. So he likes sounds, especially he likes sounds like the ringing of the bell in the temple. The temple should have a sweet bell. That is a sound which is very pleasing to God. We heard that this morning, or was it this morning? Certainly tomorrow we should hear it. The church bells, that tradition is there. Do they do that in the Orthodox? This is an Orthodox church in this village, right? Serbian. They do that they have people who are expert in ringing bells, like some kind of tune. So Krishna likes that. Buddhists, the Tibetan Buddhists are big into bells also. So they may deny the existence of God, but that sound is very pleasing to him. Or another sound he likes also to hear, the praise of him by his devotees. So these sounds he likes. Much better than being silent, that's considered to be very spiritual by some people, to become silent, not to say anything, to stop speaking altogether. But that's not pleasing to Krishna, simply to become silent. But one who is always praising his glories, he likes to hear that. He likes that. We also have that propensity. If someone praises us, we like it. So Krishna, that comes from Krishna. He has that tendency. He likes to be praised. Another meaning is movement. And one of the commentators, Satyadeva Vashishta, he always gives an unorthodox, and we could say a meaning which is... He always establishes it with copious quotes from Shastra, but he always gives what we could say obscure meanings or meanings that would not be immediately apparent. So the meaning he gives to this name is that he is called Ranapriya. Rana also gives the idea of movement. He delights in moving around in the hearts of everyone and removing the darkness in people's hearts and enlightening them. And in the form of the sun, he moves around and removes the darkness of the world. So there is a summary of some of the unlimited meanings that can be derived from the name Ranapriya in Sri Vishnu Sahasranama. And next name is a very important name, 690 Purna. Okay, I'll finish there. Hare Krishna, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyascha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.